Sunday. Me and Rowley still have a lot of work to do to set up our holiday bazaar, but I realized we'd better not wait until the last minute to let people know about it. So we went down to the town newspaper's office and told them we wanted to order up a full-page color ad in tomorrow's edition. They said an ad like that would cost $1,000, and I told them we could pay for it the day after our event. But they wouldn't take an IOU, even when I told them how many drummies we were planning on selling. I suggested maybe they could just write an article about how two regular kids were putting together their own holiday bazaar and not charge us anything. But they told us they didn't consider our holiday bazaar newsworthy. I think it stinks that the newspaper basically gets to control the information people are getting. At home, I complained to Mom, and she suggested me and Rowley start our own newspaper and write about our bazaar. I thought that was a great idea, and we got right to work. We came up with a name for our paper and put together the front page. The Neighborhood Tattler. Headline: Drummies Pricing Scam Exposed. Tattler reporters have uncovered a price gouging scheme at the school holiday bazaar that has been running unchecked for years. The popular chicken drumstick items, drummies, have been sold at the bazaar for more than 6 times their retail value. "I'm outraged," said a loyal customer who did not want to be. See Drummies, Section A2. Headline: New Bazaar Offers Alternative to School Event. With the community reeling from the drummy scandal, two boys have decided to make things right. "We've decided to start our own holiday bazaar," said Greg Heffley, an entrepreneur. See Bazaar, Section A3. "We realized we were going to have to come up with some more pages for people to take our newspaper seriously, so we started brainstorming ideas for other sections we could add. I figured we needed a comic section, so we started there." TGIF by Rowley Jefferson. "Hey, you, why are you running around in your underwear?"
"It's Friday."
"Yeah!" Stinky Sebastian by Greg Heffley. Coach to Skunk.
"Okay, who forgot to wear deodorant?"
Ned the Napkin by Rowley Jefferson. Ed: "Can you clean up my spilled soda, Ned?" Ned: "How come you always ask me?" We added an advice column where people write in questions about problems they're having. But we didn't have time to wait for people to send in real questions, so we just made a few up. Ask Greg. "Dear Greg, my wife is always criticizing everything I do. The other day, it was a little chilly out, so I wore socks with my sandals. My wife actually made me go back inside and put on shoes. I feel like she treats me like a child, but she has a very strong personality, and I'm afraid to stand up to her. What can I do? Sincerely, Frustrated." Dear Frustrated, it's never okay to wear socks with sandals. You should apologize to your wife immediately. Greg. Dear Greg, are you single? Sincerely, The Ladies.
Dear The Ladies,
why, yes, I am. Greg. Rowley was all excited about this newspaper, and he said he wanted to be like a real reporter and go out looking for stories. So I told him he should go around the neighborhood and see if he could dig up any dirt. But what Rowley came back with wasn't exactly hard-hitting news. Headline: Kitten Has a Fun Day by Rowley Jefferson. Yesterday, Mrs. Salter's kitten Mittens was seen frolicking in her front yard. Mittens spent an hour and a half chasing after a butterfly that was flying around Mrs. Salter's azaleas, and when the butterfly flew off, Mittens got very interested in something that was jumping near the front porch. But by the time I got close enough to see what Mittens was chasing, the thing had hopped away. I decided to make myself editor-in-chief so I could control the kinds of things we had in our newspaper. Because if Rowley had his way,
our paper would be like a little girl's coloring book. Mom told us we should go to some businesses downtown and see if anyone was willing to pay for ads to cover the cost of our first printing. The only person who was willing to buy an ad in our paper was Tony from Papa Tony's Pizza, and I'm pretty sure the reason he agreed to help is because we're in there at least twice a week, and he didn't want to lose our business. Tony gave us just enough money to buy some color ink cartridges, so we printed 100 copies. Monday. Yesterday, we went around town trying to sell our papers, but nobody wanted to pay, and we had to start giving them out for free. When we handed a paper to Tony, he didn't seem too happy that his ad was running next to a negative review of his restaurant. Papa Tony's Pizza Stinks, by food critic Greg Heffley. Have you noticed that Papa Tony's has started to really go downhill lately? It all started when they took the barbecue chicken pizza off of their menu and replaced it with a spinach pizza. Then they stopped selling grape soda. Papa Tony's was the only place in town you could get grape soda, so now I have to drink root beer, but it's really not the same. And half the time, the soda water doesn't mix right with the syrup, so you either get corn syrup sludge or soda water. I think they're just trying to give you a bad fountain soda experience so you'll pay for the canned soda, which costs twice as much. My last complaint is about the napkins. You used to be able to use as many as you wanted, but now Tony only lets you have two, and if you take more, he gives you a dirty look. This was next to an ad that said, Papa Tony's 2-for-1 deal. Order any one-topping pizza and get a second one free. Mention this ad and you'll get an additional dollar off your order. Offer expires on December 31st. I told him if he bought a bigger ad for the next edition of the paper, we could arrange for a more positive write-up. We still had a few dozen papers left, and since we were handing them out for free, I figured I could unload them at school. But when I started giving them to kids as they walked in the door, Vice Principal Roy asked me what I was doing. He said I couldn't hand out an unauthorized publication on school grounds and that he was going to have to confiscate my papers. But I knew what this was really all about. Vice Principal Roy was just spooked that we were going to give the school a run for its money with our holiday bazaar. I was still pretty mad about the whole thing when I got home this afternoon, and I decided I wasn't going to just roll over and let Vice Principal Roy shut us down. Even though Vice Principal Roy took our papers, I figured I could make some signs and hang them up around town to advertise. I knew Mom kept poster board and markers in the laundry room for school projects, so I got to work. I used the neon green poster board because I wanted to make sure you could see our signs from a mile away. I finished making the posters after dinner and called Rowley to ask for help putting them up. We started with the school because I figured a lot of parents would see them when they dropped their kids off in the morning. They said stuff like, Holiday Bazaar, 12 Surrey Street. Fun, games, prizes. Cheap drummies. But right when we were done hanging them up, it started to rain. And the marker on our signs ran. And soon, they were pretty much worthless. Fun, games, prizes. But when we pulled them down, we got a huge shock. The rain had made the green dye from the poster board bleed too, and now there were huge green splotches all over the brick wall. We tried to get the green dye off the wall, but that stuff was like permanent ink. I knew we couldn't leave giant green stains all over the school, so I tried to figure out what to do next. But right at that moment, someone yelled at us from the street.
Hey, what are you kids doing?
Me and Rowley panicked and took off. We ran across the parking lot and through the shortcut in the woods, then kept running until we were sure we'd lost whoever was back there. I wish we didn't run, because if we had just stayed and explained ourselves, it probably would have been fine. I don't know if the person who called out was a parent or a police officer or what, but I just hope they didn't recognize us, because if they did,
We could be in some serious trouble. Tuesday. When I woke up this morning, I thought maybe everything that happened last night was just a bad dream. But then I saw the newspaper on the kitchen table. The Daily Herald. Vandals deface middle school.
Vandals struck last night under cover of darkness and rain, leaving large, bright green stains on the front wall of the town middle school. See accompanying police sketches of suspects. The meaning of the green blobs is still unknown, but police suspect it could be gang-related. Graffiti artists have caused a lot of property damage in the past 6 months, said Sergeant Peters of the town police force. See Vandals, Section A2.
So now I'm basically a criminal.
Believe it or not, this isn't the first time I've been falsely accused of a crime.
When I was in the Boy Scouts, I was trying to earn my service project merit badge, and I had to do some kind of good deed. Mom said I should go over to Leisure Towers and see if there were any elderly people who needed help carrying groceries or something like that. And she told Roderick he had to give me a ride. When we got to the parking lot of Leisure Towers, there was a lady walking around who looked like she was lost. We asked the lady if she needed any help, and she said she was just walking to the supermarket on the other side of the apartment building. But I knew the nearest supermarket was almost 5 miles away in the opposite direction, so we said we'd give her a ride. The only condition was that she had to ride in the back, because I had already called Shotgun. We dropped the woman off at the supermarket, and then we went home. When we walked in the door, I was pretty excited to tell Mom about my good deed. I told her about the lady and how we gave her a ride to the supermarket a few miles from Leisure Towers and saved her a lot of walking. But Mom said there was a brand new supermarket a block away from Leisure Towers, and the woman had probably been heading there. So that meant we dropped her off 5 miles from where she was trying to go. And now she didn't have a way to get home. Mom said we had to get back in the van and see if we could find the lady. So we went to the supermarket where we dropped her off. But a cashier told us she'd already finished her shopping and left. We eventually found the lady walking along the highway with her groceries. We tried to offer her a ride back to Leisure Towers, but this time she wouldn't get in the van. I guess she must have called the local TV station to report us once she got home, because that night we were on the news. The newscasters had a field day.
Teens are kidnapping residents of Leisure Towers. Could your grandmother be next?
This school vandalism thing seems a lot more serious, though. Luckily, the eyewitness sketches in the paper didn't really look like me and Rowley, so I thought maybe we'd be okay. But when I got to school, all anyone wanted to talk about was who was behind the green blobs. The school had a general assembly in third period, and the topic was the so-called graffiti on the front of the school. Vice Principal Roy said someone had spray-painted the front wall, and he was sure the perpetrators were students at our school. He said someone in the auditorium knew who was responsible, and that it was terrible to live with a guilty conscience. Then he said he was going to put a locked box in the cafeteria to make it easy for someone to leave an anonymous tip. At lunch, I could tell Rowley was really freaking out, so I reminded him that this vandalism thing was a lot of baloney, and we didn't really do anything wrong. But Rowley said if he got a criminal record, he wouldn't be able to get into college or get a job, and that his whole future would be ruined. It took a while, but eventually I convinced him to just stay cool and wait for the whole thing to blow over. After lunch, the police came to the school, and Vice Principal Roy started calling kids down to the front office one by one. At first, I was worried someone had identified us. But then I realized Vice Principal Roy was only calling the names of the worst troublemakers. That's when I knew they didn't have any real evidence, and I started to relax. At recess, a kid named Mark Ramone told us what happened when he went in for questioning. The police had a machine that they said was a lie detector, and they claimed it was foolproof. so there was no point in fibbing. Mark said it was pretty obvious the lie detector was really just a photocopier. But whenever Mark said something the police didn't like, Sergeant Peters hit the copy button and out came a piece of paper that read, "He's lying." I guess the police eventually gave up, because after lunch, Vice Principal Roy stopped calling kids down to the front office. So I finally feel like we're off the hook. Wednesday. When I got to school today, I thought the green dye incident was totally behind me. So I was pretty surprised when I heard my name on the loudspeaker during morning announcements. "Greg Heffley, report to Vice Principal Roy's office immediately." I walked into Vice Principal Roy's office, and he told me to take a seat. He said he knew I was one of the culprits responsible for the green blobs and asked me if I had anything to say for myself. I looked around the room for the lie detector machine, but I didn't see it, and I decided my best move was to just keep quiet or maybe ask for a lawyer. Then Vice Principal Roy pulled a piece of paper out of the anonymous tip box and showed it to me. It said, "Me and Greg Heffley vandalized the school." All of a sudden, everything made sense. Rowley confessed, but he kept himself anonymous. I don't know if Rowley did it that way on purpose or if he's just a total doofus, but I'm guessing it's door number two. I didn't see any reason to play dumb at that point, so I told Vice Principal Roy the whole story. I told him about the signs and how the rain made the poster board bleed and how we panicked and ran. Vice Principal Roy thought about it for a while, and then he told me I should have come clean earlier. He said he was going to have to give me a punishment to make sure I learned my lesson and said that after school, I had to scrub the green dye off the wall with bleach. Then he gave me a choice. He said I could name my co-conspirator, or I could just take the punishment myself. Let me tell you, that was not an easy one. I really wanted to stick it to Rowley for writing my name on that piece of paper, but I also didn't see the point in both of us getting in trouble for something that I basically dragged him into. So I decided this time around, I'd just take one for the team. And if Rowley gets into a good college or gets some dream job later on, I hope he remembers to thank me. Thursday. It took me 2 hours to scrub the green dye off the wall yesterday, and it was hard work. I tried to get Vice Principal Roy to get me a few steel wool pads so we could speed things along, but he told me I needed to stick with the bleach. I finally got home around 5 p.m., and there was a note on the front door. When I read it, I almost passed out. It was from the town police department. "We came by, but no one was home. We will come back later. Sergeant Peters." I couldn't believe Vice Principal Roy gave me up to the police. I thought we were going to keep this between us and that once I served my punishment, it was over and done with. All I know is I can't go to jail. This year, they took our class on a scared straight field trip to the local prison. They had these prisoners talk to us about what their lives were like in jail, and it really freaked everybody out. But it wasn't the idea of being locked up that scared me. It was the fact that the toilets in the cells are right out in the open. I have a huge issue when it comes to privacy. It's bad enough at school when you come back from the bathroom and everyone wants to know all the details. Psst. Psst. Did you poop? Good grief! That's what I call nosy. I've never actually broken the law before. But when I was little, I thought I did. They used to have this thing at my supermarket called the Cupcake Club, where they gave a free cupcake to everyone under 8 years old. I had a membership card and everything. Well, I kept taking a cupcake even after I turned 8, and every time I did, I thought I was going to get busted. Then this one time, an alarm went off at the exact moment I bit into a strawberry frosted cupcake with sprinkles. Ring! Looking back, I'm pretty sure what happened was that someone accidentally tripped the fire alarm or something, but I was convinced it was for me and that the cops were going to swoop in and place me under arrest. So I made a run for it. Luckily, Mom found me a few streets away, because as far as I was concerned, I was a fugitive and had started my life of crime. But this vandalism thing was a whole lot more serious than the Cupcake Club episode. So when Mom got home with Manny, I didn't tell her about the note. The person I was really worried about was Dad. I haven't been on his good side lately. In fact, this morning we had an incident I'm sure he's still sore over. I was asleep when I heard someone knocking on the front door, but I didn't want to get out of bed to answer it. I was hoping whoever was there would just go away and come back later. But the knocking got louder and louder, and the person out there was acting like a maniac. I buried myself in my covers and just prayed that whoever it was wouldn't knock the door down. I thought about calling the police, but then I remembered I was a wanted man and that I'd have to deal with this problem on my own. Eventually, I got brave enough to go downstairs and grab a baseball bat out of the garage to protect myself. Then it got quiet, and I pulled the curtain back to see if the person was still out there. But I was surprised to see Dad standing on the front step. He had gotten his tie stuck in the door and had left his keys inside, so he just needed me to open it to let him loose. So I'm sure Dad is ready to ship me off to juvenile detention the first chance he gets. In fact, if he's home when the police come, he'll probably hand me over into their custody without batting an eye. It turns out, I don't have to worry about Dad, at least not for the next 24 hours. It started snowing pretty hard around dinner tonight, and Dad called Mom to say it was too dangerous for him to drive home, so he was going to stay overnight in a hotel near his office. That means I've got until tomorrow to figure out my next move. Friday. It looks like I'll have more time than I thought. It snowed all night, and by the time I woke up this morning, the snow was 3 feet high. They even canceled school. Apparently, we're in the middle of a blizzard. Rowley actually called last night to tell me we were supposed to get a ton of snow, but I didn't believe him. Every year around this time, Rowley calls to tell me there's a huge snowstorm coming, and he's always wrong. His family taped one of those holiday specials a few years ago, and the night they recorded it, a severe weather warning was on the bottom of the screen. So now, the weather warning is a permanent part of the recording. Every time Rowley watches that holiday special, he calls me up and tells me a blizzard is coming. I used to fall for it, but I stopped believing him after he called me in a panic when he watched the special over summer vacation. So it looks like we're snowed in. Ordinarily, I would be really happy to be stuck in the house, because it would give me a good excuse to play Net Critters all day long. But my account is locked thanks to Manny. A few days ago, Mom decided it would be a good idea to teach Manny how to use the computer, so she let him play on my NetCritters account while I was at school. By the time I got home, Manny traded in everything I ever earned in the game for tokens, and then blew all of them in the Critters casino. And the worst part is that Manny somehow figured out how to change my password, so now I can't even play the game and earn my stuff back. For the past few days, I've been getting emails from NetCritters telling me I need to get back on the site. But there's nothing I can do about it. And if something doesn't change soon, I don't think my chihuahua is going to make it. I'm getting emails like, "To Hefley Gregory, from NetCritters, subject SOS. Dear Gregory, Gregory's little friend misses you. Purchase more tokens for your virtual pet before it's too late." This isn't the only password Manny has changed, either. He figured out how to mess with the settings on our TV and change the parental lock feature. The parental lock thing is supposed to allow parents to control what their kids can watch, but Manny changed the settings so that the only shows we can watch are his favorites. And he won't give up the password, no matter how much we try to bribe him. Luckily, I can still play video games on the TV. But Mom just got this exercise game, and now she spends an hour a day using my system. When it got cold a few weeks ago, Mom said she wanted the whole family to use her exercise game so we'd stay active during the winter. I tried it out, but I don't really like to sweat while I'm playing video games. The problem is, the game keeps track of how much you exercise each day. So Mom was on my case about not using it. But then I figured out I could use the controller instead of my body. And within a few days, I had all the high scores on the game just by tapping the remote. When Mom saw my high scores, she took it as a personal challenge to beat them. I feel like I should probably come clean and tell her I cheated, but she's already lost 5 pounds trying to get on the leaderboard, so I think I'll do her a favor and keep my mouth shut. Mom always says I need to spend less time on the couch and more time being active. But the way I see it, I'm just conserving my energy for later on. When all my friends are in their 80s and their bodies are broken down, I'll just be getting started. This morning, Mom wanted to turn on the Weather Channel to see when the blizzard was going to end. But Manny wasn't budging on the parental lock, so she went into the kitchen and turned on the radio. The weather report said we could expect another 1.5 feet overnight, which means this storm is going to break all the records for our area by the time it's finished. On the one hand, I was pretty happy, because that meant I had some more time to figure out what to do about the police situation. But I was a little worried, too. The snow was already up to our mailbox, and it wasn't showing any sign of stopping. Mom wasn't stressed out about the snow, though. She said it was a good opportunity to slow down and relax, and told me I should go down in the storage room to get a puzzle. But there was no way I was getting a puzzle from the storage room. I have a big phobia about puzzles, and that's because once when I got one out of the basement, I opened the box and it was full of crickets that had made a nest in there. After lunch, Mom said that even though we were going to miss school, she was going to make sure we didn't fall behind in our education. She said that 200 years ago, all the kids went to school in one classroom and that we could do the same sort of thing in our house. But if I was in the same classroom as a kid Manny's age back in the old days, I would have gone bananas. For crying out loud, I already know the alphabet. Saturday. Last night, Mom brought up some stuff from the basement to keep us entertained. She found a magic set I got for my 6th birthday, and all the tricks were still in it. I never really played with a magic set because I couldn't read the directions when I got it. But today, I read through the instructions and tried a few tricks out. Hole in the table trick. Tell the audience there's a magical hole in the table and that you can prove it by pushing a plastic cup straight through it. Put a piece of tinfoil over a plastic cup and wrap it tight. Slide the plastic cup toward you and allow it to fall out onto your lap, but don't let the audience see you do it. Slap down on the empty tinfoil shell with your hand, standing up at the same time. The plastic cup will fall out of your lap and onto the floor, making it seem as if it has passed through the table. Voila! The first trick worked pretty well, and I had Manny believing there was actually a magical hole in the table. I really wish I hadn't done that trick for Manny, though. When Mom was in the bathroom washing her face, Manny got her glasses off the dresser and brought them into the kitchen to try the trick himself. He slammed down on the glasses, thinking they'd go through the magic hole. There was a sickening crunch. When Mom got out of the bathroom to look for her glasses, I had to tell her what happened. Mom is practically blind without her glasses, so she said me and Roderick were going to have to help her out with Manny until Dad came home and she could get a new pair. Roderick said he had some urgent homework assignments to work on, and he took off for the basement, leaving me to deal with Manny. I had to brush Manny's teeth and tie his shoes, and then I had to make him breakfast. I poured some milk in the bowl and then dumped Manny's favorite cereal on top. Well, Manny was upset that I poured the milk in first, and he had a fit. He wanted a new bowl of cereal, since he said I did it in the wrong order. but I didn't want to waste a perfectly good bowl of cereal, so I refused to do it. Mom asked what was going on, and I told her Manny was just being ridiculous. I expected her to back me up and tell Manny to just eat his cereal the way it was, but Mom said she wouldn't eat it with the milk poured in first either. You know, back in the old days, adults were respected because of how wise they were, and people went to them to help settle disputes. Wise men on a hill would bring justice to the world, saying, "For your crimes, you must repay your neighbor with 3 hens and a rooster." Nowadays, it's a whole different world, and half the time, I wonder if grown-ups should really be in charge. For example, once a week, my mom asks, "Can you show us how to work the microwave again?" So Mom went upstairs to take a shower, and after she was finished, she yelled down and said there were no towels in the bathroom. So I got one from the linen closet and tried to give it to her. But the handoff was tricky because she couldn't see and I was shutting my eyes as tight as I could. Later that morning, Manny had to use the bathroom, and Mom said she needed me to go in there and keep him entertained. But that's where I put my foot down, because I knew what she had in mind. Manny used to make Mom read to him while he sat on the potty, but it has just escalated from there, to the point we're now talking hand puppets and silly voices. After Manny was finished in the bathroom, Mom said I needed to make him lunch. She said he likes hot dogs, so I got one out of the refrigerator and put it in the microwave. Mom told me Manny is really finicky about the way his mustard goes on his hot dog, and she said he likes a straight line right down the middle. I didn't want a repeat of Manny's breakfast meltdown, so I tried to make the line of mustard as perfectly straight as possible. I was pretty sure I got it right, all the way from end to end. Manny had another temper tantrum, though. I thought the line must not have been straight enough, so I got a napkin and wiped the mustard off to give it another try. But I guess Manny thought that hot dog was tainted, so I had to microwave another one. This time, I tried to be extra careful with the mustard, but when I showed it to Manny, it was the exact same result as before. Mom asked me to describe how I was doing it, and I told her I was making a straight line of mustard along the length of the hot dog. But Mom told me Manny likes his line of mustard across the hot dog, like a belt maybe, barely an inch long. When I did it like that, he finally calmed down. See, this is the kind of nonsense I'm dealing with right now. I've seen a lot of movies where a kid my age finds out he's got magical powers and then gets invited to go away to some special school. Well, if I've got an invitation coming, now would be the perfect time to get it. Sunday. This morning at 10 o'clock, Mom told me to go downstairs and wake up Roderick, but when I walked down the basement steps, I could tell something was seriously wrong. There was at least a foot of water covering the basement floor. I guess all that snow was too much for the ground to hold, and it caused the basement to flood. I told Mom to come downstairs quick, and when she did, she was really upset that a bunch of our stuff was ruined. But to be honest with you, there were some things floating in the water that I didn't mind getting wrecked. Mom keeps a memory box for each of us kids, and mine was on the bottom shelf, so it was mostly underwater. One of the things that was in the box was my bedwetting calendar from when I was 8 years old. Let me just say in my defense that there was a perfectly good reason why I was wetting the bed back then. In those days, I drank a lot of water before I went to sleep at night, and then I'd have these crazy dreams that made me need to go. They always seemed to feature firemen with ripped hoses desperate for a way to put out a fire. I finally figured out what the issue was, but not before I got 5 frowny face stickers in a row. Some of the yearbooks from my elementary school days were soaked, but I didn't mind that either. My 5th grade yearbook was in my memory box, and that's the one where we were allowed to choose whatever kind of background we wanted for our school picture. I was the only kid in the whole school who chose natural setting, which was me sitting on a branch up in a tree. I knew I should have just gone with a regular background, but Mom talked me into it when the forms came home from school. She actually gushed. "Pick this one. You'll look so rugged." I don't really understand why Mom was so upset. Most of the stuff that got ruined was in the basement for a reason, and that's because we never use it. One of the things Mom was really sad about was a spoon carousel Gammy gave us 5 or 6 years ago. I think we were supposed to collect a spoon from every country in the world, but we only got up to Canada. I did feel pretty bad for Mom when she found out one of the family photo albums got ruined. A few years ago, Mom got into scrapbooking, and she spent a lot of time cutting out pictures and doing these really fancy photo pages. But there's one page in that album I didn't like, because Roderick always teases me about it. It's the one where I had a breakdown before a pony ride at the state fair. Roderick always says I was scared of the pony, but that's not true at all. I was scared of the guy handling the pony, but Mom cropped him out of the picture. Speaking of Roderick, the flooding didn't seem to bother him at all. In fact, I'll bet if I hadn't woken him up, he would have kept sleeping even if his bed floated up the stairs and out of the house. The rest of the day was pretty awful. The water in the basement kept getting higher, so we had to make a bucket relay line with some of Manny's sand pails. Dad called from his hotel room to check in on us, and Mom told him what happened. Dad said he was really sorry he wasn't home to help, but something tells me he's okay with the way things worked out for him. I would love to trade places with Dad right now, because he's got a clean room and a king-size bed all to himself. Mom told me and Roderick that since the basement was flooded, we're going to have to share my room. She said it would be good for both of us to get used to having a roommate, because it was practice for college. Me and Roderick shared a room this summer for a weekend. We had to spend a few days at Grandma's, while Mom and Dad took Manny to a kiddie amusement park. Grandma has a guest room, so I figured one of us would sleep on her couch and the other would get the guest bed. But Grandma said the guest room was occupied, so we couldn't sleep there. She'd given the whole room to Sweetie, the dog we gave her. But you'd hardly know he's the same dog, because Grandma feeds him so much he looks like a tick that's about to pop. Grandma said me and Roderick could sleep together on the pull-out couch she has in the living room. But that couch is covered in plastic because she doesn't trust us kids not to spill something on it. So me and Roderick spent a whole weekend sleeping side by side on a queen-size pull-out couch. I'd wake up every morning in a pool of sweat, and I don't even know if it was Roderick's or mine. I'm pretty sure that in prison you sleep in bunk beds, so if they lock me up, at least I'll have a better sleeping arrangement than I did at Grandma's this summer. Monday. After 12 hours of sharing a room with Roderick, I'm thinking of marching down to the police station and turning myself in, because there's no punishment they can dream up that could be worse than what I'm dealing with at home. Last night, Roderick brought a bunch of his stuff from the basement and put it in my room. This is supposed to be a temporary living situation, but Roderick is treating it like a permanent one. Roderick's got his drum set, with his band's logo, Loaded Diaper, on it, on stacks of books to air it out, and his dirty clothes are everywhere. This morning, when I was getting dressed, I put on a pair of boxer shorts that was sitting on my dresser. But by the time I realized it was actually Roderick's dirty underwear, it was too late. So until Mom did a load of laundry, I wore my Halloween costume. It was uncomfortable, but at least I knew for sure it was clean. This afternoon, we were down in the basement seeing if there was anything we could salvage from the flood. I noticed something strange floating in the water in the storage room, and when I picked it up, I almost passed out. At first, I thought it was a real baby, but then I realized it was my long-lost doll, Alfredo. After all this time, Alfredo wasn't looking too good. I think a mouse must have gotten to him, and spending a day in the water didn't help either. But in a weird way, I was kind of glad to see him. I was living with the guilt of losing Alfredo for all these years, and now I found out he was in the house all along. In fact, I couldn't figure out how he wound up in the storage room. But I realized it had to be Dad. He was never really on board with the whole doll idea, and I'm sure he got rid of Alfredo when I wasn't looking. I figured I'd confront Dad about kidnapping my doll when he got home, but at the moment, I had bigger things to worry about. The first one was what I was gonna eat. Over the past few days, we've been running low on food, and if this snow doesn't melt quick, I don't know what we're gonna do. Mom was supposed to go grocery shopping the day the blizzard hit, so we have less food than usual to begin with. She said we're gonna have to start rationing until she can go back out. That could be a while, though. The snow is piled up 3 feet high against the front door, so we're basically trapped inside. And Roderick is spoiling the food we do have left. He drinks milk straight from the carton, so there's no way I'm gonna touch that now. I'm actually kind of mad at Dad, because if it wasn't for him, we'd have all the milk we wanted. A few years ago, I won a contest at the state fair where you had to guess how much a baby goat weighed, and the winner got to take it home. I guessed the weight right, but Dad wouldn't let me have the goat. And if we had that goat, I could have a glass of milk whenever I wanted. Mom found some burritos in the back of the freezer last night and made them for dinner. But they tasted funny, so I wouldn't eat them. Mom said I needed to eat something, so I had ketchup as my main course. Manny didn't seem to mind the burritos, but he'll eat just about anything as long as he's got his favorite condiment on it. When Sweetie lived with us, he used to chew on the furniture, so we sprayed it with this stuff called bitter apple spray that dogs can't stand the taste of. But for whatever reason, Manny loves the taste of bitter apple spray, and to this day, he uses it on almost everything he eats. Speaking of Sweetie, I got so hungry today that I was seriously thinking about eating some of the dog treats I found in the back of our pantry. I mean, they were called bacon snacks, made with real animal byproducts. Sounds good, right? But Mom told me they have different standards for making dog food than they do for people food, so that stopped me from eating any. At least for now. I can't believe I'm practically starving here while Sweetie is living the good life at Grandma's, enjoying her home-cooked meals. I only have myself to blame about the food situation, though. We had a bunch of canned food until a week before Thanksgiving, but then I gave almost all of it to the food drive at school. I got rid of the things I don't like to eat, like yams and beets. But I'll bet whoever got our rejects is having a pretty good laugh about it right now. I was starting to wonder whether toothpaste had any nutritional value when I remembered I actually did have something edible in my desk drawer. When Dad wouldn't let me take the goat home from the state fair, Mom got me a giant gobstopper to make up for it. I spent the whole fall working on that thing. I figure if we do run out of food in the house, that gobstopper will help me survive at least another week. Tonight, the electricity cut out for a few seconds and then came back on. Mom said there was a lot of ice on the power lines and we were probably going to lose our electricity at some point. She said if that happened, we needed to keep the freezer door closed so the food inside didn't thaw out and get ruined. She also said we'd need to keep the doors to the house shut so we didn't lose too much heat. Manny got really upset, and whenever he gets scared, he hides in his room. One time, when Manny was younger, I told him a witch lived in our basement, and he got really spooked. He went missing for a few hours, but we eventually tracked him down to his sock drawer. Mom was right about the electricity, because 15 minutes after her prediction, the power cut off and didn't come back on. She tried to call the electric company, but her cell phone battery was dead. Every hour, the temperature dropped another 2 or 3 degrees, and we had to get a blanket to keep ourselves warm. Manny just stayed in his room the whole time, and I'm sure he was scared out of his mind. I was actually pretty worried myself. When you're used to having electricity, and then all of a sudden it's taken away, you're basically just one step away from being a wild animal. And with no phone or TV, we were totally cut off from the outside world. I would have felt a lot better if our street was plowed, because then we'd at least be connected to the rest of civilization. But I'm sure the snowplow guy is going to come to our street last, because every time he comes up our hill, he gets ambushed by the big kids and snowballed something awful. There really wasn't any point in staying awake, so I just went to bed, and Roderick followed me into the room a few minutes later. It was freezing cold, and I remembered a story I read in a magazine about these two guys who were stranded out in the wilderness and had to share a sleeping bag to conserve body heat. I looked over at Roderick and thought about it for a second. But then I decided my dignity was more important to me than staying alive. All I can say is, prison's gotta be a lot better than this. I'm pretty sure they guarantee you a warm cell and 3 meals a day. So when the police do come back, believe me, I'll be ready to go. Tuesday. When I woke up today, I realized I'd somehow lost Alfredo again, but I wasn't too upset about it. I was pretty happy to be reunited with my doll yesterday, but it hasn't been easy picking up where we left off. This morning, I noticed it was snowing a lot less, but the electricity was still out, and Mom said we were just going to have to adapt to our new circumstances until the snow melted. She said I hadn't showered in a few days, and I couldn't live like a savage. I promised Mom I'd bathe twice a day once the electricity came back on, but she made me go upstairs to take a shower anyway. The water was freezing cold, and the only towel in the bathroom was one Mom used yesterday, so I had to dry myself with some gauze I found in the cabinet under the sink. After I got dressed, I heard a knock on the front door. I thought maybe the police had finally come to take me away, and I felt dizzy. But when I looked out the window, I saw Rowley standing there, and he had something in his hands. I thought Rowley had come to rescue us, but when I opened the door, he told me he brought us Christmas cookies, and then he asked me if I wanted to come outside and play. I told him he was out of his mind and asked him how his family was surviving without any electricity, but he looked confused. Rowley said his family still had electricity. And everyone else on the street did too. And sure enough, I could see people's Christmas lights on up and down the street. Then Rowley asked me if I wanted to make a snowman. I slammed the door shut, but only after I helped myself to a few cookies. I told Mom what Rowley said about the electricity, and she told me to go down to the basement to see if there was something wrong with our fuse box. When I opened it up and looked at the circuit breaker, here's what I found. The only switch that was on was the one for Manny's room. I ran upstairs, and when I opened Manny's door, I got a blast of heat. Manny was sitting there with a space heater, a pile of food, and a bunch of other stuff, too. When things got bad, Manny must have figured it was every man for himself. I think he would have let the rest of us freeze to death as long as he had enough to survive. Mom asked Manny why he cut off the power to the rest of the house, and he started blubbering that it was because no one ever taught him how to tie his shoes. While Mom dealt with Manny, I went down to the basement and switched on the circuit breakers for the rest of the house. The electricity came back on, and the furnace kicked in. A few minutes after that, Dad called. He said the highways were clear and that he was coming home. I looked out the window and saw the plow coming up our hill. Mom said it was a miracle that Dad was going to be home for Christmas Eve, but to be honest with you, I had totally forgotten what day it was until that moment. Dad picked up some food on the way home, and the rest of us ate like a pack of wolves. And let me just say, I'll never take food for granted again. Mom said she was going to go out with Dad to try and find a place that was open that sold glasses. Before she left, Mom asked me to take a present down to the police station for the toy drive and put it in the outdoor bin, because today was the last day you could turn a gift in. But I wasn't too eager to show my face at the police station, and I really didn't need to spend Christmas in jail. I knew I'd let some kid down if I didn't turn in our present, though, so I found a ski mask in our closet and headed out. It took forever to get to the police station, and I crawled the last 20 feet to the bin just to play it safe. Once I knew the coast was clear, I stood up and tossed the present in the bin. Then I turned around and headed home. But when I walked by the church, I remembered something. I had filled out a request for the giving tree, and I asked whoever got my envelope to leave my cash under the recycling bin behind the church. The church parking lot was covered in snow. I was pretty sure the recycling bin was buried somewhere behind the church, but I didn't know the exact spot. Luckily, there was a shovel leaning up against the wall, and I started digging to find the recycling bin. But it wasn't in the place I thought it would be, and I ended up clearing out a huge area looking for it. I wish the church had a hose attached to the back of the building, because that would have made the job go a lot easier. I was pretty desperate to find that envelope, because I figured if I was going to start my life on the run, I could really use a big wad of cash to get me by for the first few weeks. But when I finally found the recycling bin, there was no envelope beneath it. I was pretty bummed on the walk back home, and I forgot all about being careful not to be seen. So I was totally unprepared when I got to my front door and a police car pulled in the driveway right behind me. I thought this was it for me, so I ran inside and locked the door. But when the police knocked, Roderick let them in. I thought about jumping out the back window and making a run for it, but I'm glad I didn't, because I would have looked like an idiot. It turns out the police weren't there for me at all. They were just there to collect last-minute gifts for the toy drive. I thought they might be bluffing, and that they were just using the toy drive as a way of flushing me out. But I finally worked up the courage to go to the front door, and I even brought a donation with me and tried to act casual. "Hey, hey," I said. "Take good old Alfredo." The police said they couldn't accept a used toy as a donation, and that they were only taking new items in their original packaging. I actually think they were just a little freaked out by Alfredo, because they seemed to leave in a hurry after that. Christmas. When I woke up this morning, I couldn't believe it was Christmas, and I was in my house with electricity and heat and wasn't on the run from the police. I went downstairs to see if there was anything under the tree, but I was totally shocked to find there weren't any gifts at all. At first, I thought it was all Santa Scout's fault, and that he'd been running his mouth about the trouble I've gotten myself into lately. But Mom came downstairs a few minutes later and told me Santa did come last night, and that he left our gifts in the garage. Mom said the snowstorm really messed up Santa's schedule, so he ran out of time to wrap presents and just put them in garbage bags instead. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but at that point, I was relieved to be getting any gifts at all. The rest of the family came downstairs, and Mom said we could have fun reaching in the trash bags and guessing what our gifts were. It wasn't really the same, but I think Dad was pretty happy he didn't have any wrapping paper to clean up. After I was done with the gifts in the trash bag, Mom handed me a wrapped present that she said was from her. It was my Tower of Druids graphic novel, so I was a little confused. Mom said she felt bad about forging Kenny Sentazzo's autograph, so she found out where he was appearing a few weeks ago and got my book signed for real this time. She said she had to wait in line for 3 hours, but she was happy to do it for me. She said she asked him, "Please write to my biggest fan, Greg." But based on what's written in my book now, I'm guessing Kenny Sentazzo didn't hear my name correctly. It says, "To my biggest fan, Craig. Kenny Sentazzo." Hopefully, I can find a rich guy named Craig who's really into graphic novels so I can sell it to him for a pile of cash. Roderick got a snare drum and some drumsticks, and Manny got a bunch of toys and a pair of sneakers. Even though Mom taught Manny how to tie his shoes yesterday, it looks like he'd prefer to have her do it for him anyway. After we were done opening presents, Mom said it was time to go to church. I told her we couldn't go because we didn't have any clean clothes to wear. But that's when she pulled out three last gifts, happily announcing, "Santa got all three of you boys V-neck sweaters." I really like to spend Christmas in my pajamas, and the second you put on dress clothes, it feels like it's over. So I decided to put my clothes on over my pajamas and pick up where I left off once we got back home. But it was a mistake to wear flannel pajamas underneath corduroy pants and a V-neck sweater for a 2-hour service. I nearly died. After we got home from church, I went upstairs to change. I actually had puddles of sweat in my shoes, so I had to empty them out in the bathroom sink. When I got downstairs, the newspaper was on the kitchen table, and here's what was on the front page. The Daily Herald. Unidentified do-gooder clears the way. Unselfish act allows soup kitchen to open. The blizzard that crippled the town and shut down many basic services threatened to cancel the soup kitchen, which many less fortunate individuals rely on for a hot meal on Christmas. But an unidentified juvenile spent his Christmas Eve shoveling out the church sidewalk to make sure that didn't happen. See Mystery, Section A2. Well, the newspaper didn't exactly get the story right, but I'm not going to complain. In fact, that article inspired me to put out a new edition of the Neighborhood Tattler. And I'll bet we can sell a ton of copies. The Neighborhood Tattler. Masked Hero Revealed. The Tattler can exclusively report that the mysterious do-gooder who shoveled the church sidewalk on Christmas Eve is none other than our very own editor-in-chief, Greg Heffley. "I just wanted to do the right thing," said Heffley when asked why he decided. See Hero, Section A2.
The End. You've been listening to Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Cabin Fever, by Jeff Kinney, narrated by Ramon de Ocampo. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends How Lamar's Bad Prank Won a Bubba-Sized Trophy by Crystal Allen, narrated by Muhammad Cunningham. 13-year-old Lamar Washington is the maddest, baddest, most spectacular bowler at Strikers Bowling Paradise. But while Lamar is a whiz at rolling strikes, he always strikes out with girls. And his brother, Xavier the Basketball Savior, is no help. Xavier earns trophy after trophy on the basketball court and soaks up Dad's attention, leaving no room for Lamar's problems. Until bad boy Billy Jenks convinces Lamar that hustling at the alley will help him win his dream girl, plus earn him enough money to buy an expensive pro ball and impress celebrity bowler Bubba Sanders. But when Billy's scheme goes awry, Lamar ends up ruining his brother's shot at college and every relationship in his life. Can Lamar figure out how to mend his broken ties, no matter what the cost? Recorded Books offers a wide selection of bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. So visit us at recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers.